You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Well, they came into town Friday on ESPN for a nationally televised soccer game. No one knew a whole lot about this club from, we don't even know where they were from. And for a while, they were ahead. But then at the end, it all fell apart and they disappeared into the night. Will we ever see them again? The Bishop Sycamore of MLS, FC Cincinnati, holding victory in their hands. And then it all slips away. Was it ever real? Did any of it actually happen? Well, we're going to parse that on this week's edition of the Massive Report podcast with Ori, Alex, Bart. My name is Brian. Ori, please give some love to our friends at Saucy Brewworks.
Oh, yeah. We love our friends at Saucy Brewworks. They're a real bar, unlike Bishop Sycamore. There is no Bishop Sycamore bar. There is a Saucy Brewworks bar because it is real. It's the best bar in Columbus. It's the best place to be in the world. Saucy Brewworks. If your brew works, why not be saucy with it? 443 West 3rd Avenue for the best food, best beer. They have coffee there too, so if you want to go get a coffee in the morning, go watch some soccer Saturday morning European action, you can do that too. It's the best place ever. Saucy Brewworks.
Nice. And they're at 3rd Michigan there, and what neighborhood is that again? I always forget. Harrison West. Thank you.
Yep
that's something that occurred to me in my head. Forgive us because we are still dying down from laughing our asses off about this Bishop Sycamore story, but we're not going to get into that as much as we would love to. But if you're not up to speed on this thing, just Google Bishop Sycamore, the fake high school football team. It's the best story ever. It is the fire festival of sports stories. But we want to talk about what really happened in front of our naked, steaming eyes on Friday. Boy, steamy for sure. It was such a miserably hot night. But it turned out great as a crew come from behind, thanks to Miguel Berry's two goals, beat FC Cincinnati 3-2 in the second of two Hell is Real matches for 2021. Alex, I thought Derek Antien Jr. had a great idea on Twitter. The TIFO for FC Cincinnati and Columbus next year for Hell is Real at lower.com should simply be a giant Miguel Berry head.
It's an interesting idea. I'll have to see what the other candidates are. I mean, if they get the wooden spoon again, I mean, I feel like we just have to keep going on that one as long
as
we can.
Well, can he be holding a wooden spoon?
No, because he doesn't win wooden spoons. He doesn't have any wooden spoons. Those are purely in Cincinnati / Kentucky, depending on where you consider this team to actually be located. But
if he's spanking a lion with the wooden spoon or whatever their little mascot.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see what transpires. I like the fact that you called Bishop Sycamore the fire festival of sports stories, because I kind of feel like FC Cincinnati are the fire festival of sports teams.
Or the dumpster fire.
They are just horrible. And I don't even think that the crew have like turned a corner, right?
No, it's didn't think they played well at all.
No, we played bad, but they were worse. They like constantly find a way to just like be more terrible than everybody else in the league. And I just love it. You know, God bless them. We certainly appreciate them lowering the bar for everybody else. It's them and Austin just fighting to figure out who sucks more. And honestly, like, long may it continue. If this is the way that MLS is for the next two decades, like, I'll just kick my feet back and enjoy it. But truly, truly terrible performance from Cincinnati. Their fans are begging to go back to USL. And, you know, I think a couple more seasons and then maybe we'll let them return to their home territory where they belong in the lower divisions of American soccer.
Bart, I was in my seats in the South End. Most of the Cincinnati supporters were more or less directly above us. And I enjoyed throughout the evening turning around and sort of riding the roller coaster of emotions with them. They're very all or nothing. And boy, it looked like Miguel Berry just reached into their chest and took their beating hearts out, threw it on the field. It was really something to see. They were so excited. They had this. They had it in their hands. And to see it snatched away like that was really something, wasn't it?
I mean, I do agree right now. I think there's but only one team in MLS and you know, probably in like you. I mean, let's think about this in the first half. I mean, any other MLS team or at least in most USL teams, you know, probably go up in front against Crew there early. They had that golden opportunity after Columbus rang a couple off the bar, the post. But I mean, it's got to be real rough. I ran into as we were walking back down the Scioto Trail, bike trail after the game, and just ran into some FC Cincy fans. And I mean, there wasn't even banter. It was just sheer depression. I mean, I almost for a moment felt bad for him. And then one of the guys mentioned, you know, that he had been a Crew fan before and became an FC Cincy fan. And it was just like, oh, well, because, you know, driving up to Columbus is a lot of work. Well, you know, buddy, let's do the trade-off. Obviously, gas, it's expensive, but what is the emotional return on emotional investment that you're getting right now? Because it is rough.
These people pay $300 to spend 2 hours a week, 9 months out of the year, to watch their team get destroyed by other teams. I can't imagine how they're still doing it. These people are sick. We need to get them help because, like, any sane individual would have bailed on this team years ago. What is the opposite of a Cinderella story? Like, do we know, like, what that – there's got to be some sort of a reverse there, but, like, that's what they are. Like, they're a team where you're like, they've got to turn a corner eventually, right? And then they find a way to lose. They always find a way to somehow go even lower down. Remember that Brenner, right? Brenner is supposed mm-hmm. to be the everybody. They were going to turn the corner. They signed Brenner. They spent $15 million on this Brazilian striker. Dude's a bum. Their coach is a bum. Their GM is a bum. And the president, Birding, is a bum. Like, they're just bums all the way up and down, this whole organization. They need to, like, throw everything out, but they're not going to. They're going to be bad forever.
Well, I'll tell you, the bum of the night for them, and eventually it cost them the game, was Kenneth Vermeer gave away so many rebounds. Ori, do you have the final count on how many times the ball got away from him? It was a lot, I think, before Miguel Berry took advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed really like soft. A lot. I mean, I'm looking at Vermeer's stats right now. He had 8 saves, and 7 of them were diving saves, 5 inside the box. And probably out of his 8 saves, maybe 5 or 6 of them, he didn't actually keep hold of the ball or push it out for a corner or throw in. Because in the first half, that was happening the whole first half. Vermeer was getting saves, and he was allowing the ball to roll into the box. But in the first half, Bradley Wright Phillips and the other Crew attackers are not following up the shots. So they weren't able to get those second opportunities. Second half comes along. Vermeer keeps doing the same thing. Berry instructed. He knew what he was supposed to do. Crash the 6-yard box. Follow the shots. First goal, you see Matan with positive play. I think a lot of Crew fans have spoken about it, and I agree with it. I think Matan, I would love to see him play more. He's a positive player. I think he brings so much energy to the pitch. I think seeing him get more minutes would be really, really fun because he brings a different sort of impact to the Crew offensively than a couple of other players. So he has positive play. And Pedro Santos, very importantly, tries a shot out of the box and gets it on target, which is something we haven't seen him do of late. And Vermeer spills it, and all Berry has to do is just follow that shot. Following your own shot and your teammate's shot, super important thing to do as a striker. And Berry did it twice because on the second goal,
in 75 seconds.
Yeah, Matan gets to the byline, makes a positive play once again, forces a shot. Vermeer spills it. And all Berry has to do is just get his body in there. It comes off his knee, off of his belly, and goes into the net. And the Crew win the game. So
he scored with his stomach, guys.
Yeah, and they won.
These weren't even good goals.
Like, that was like some Chicharito stuff.
Yeah, it's like Chicharito and Jossie Zardes.
Hey, you know what? Back in the day, when I played back in the olden days, that's what I did. That's most of my goals were complete garbage.
Oh, yeah. I'm
they not all count anything away from me. Yeah. Just the same. And when I coach kids, little kids, follow your shot. And it's amazing how often we don't see professionals do that simple thing that it been drilled in their heads their entire lives. Miguel Berry goes, I'm going to go where the goals are, right, because scoring goals is fun.
And the other thing is that's important to kind of remember, to be a good striker, you don't have to be the person that that scores the flashy goals and every goal looks good. Jossy Zardes scores some nice goals outside the box and has good shooting traits for sure, but most of the time he's making those forward runs looking for the final touch. When Miguel Berry gets those two goals, it brought up a player in mind that I remember watching as a kid. All he did was stand near the six and just tap the ball in, Ruud van Nistelrooy. He wasn't the kind of guy that would take 20, 25-yard screamers and just, you know, stuff that you'd see Messi or Ronaldo or Suarez do or Lewandowski. All you got to do, you can just have a guy that's a striker, the ultimate poacher, stands near the six-yard box, rebound shots, taps the ball in. The goals don't have to be pretty. They all count the same. And Miguel Berry came on and put on a really, really good couple of moments there to give the Crew their first win in a game that I said it would be 4-3, and it ended up being 3-2. If both teams had much better finishing, I probably would have been spot on. But y'all thought I was crazy for predicting 4-3. I just want to have it on record.
You were
wrong by the same margin that I was with 2-1. Ori, I don't know that you get too much credit for that.
No, but you only said three goals. I said I said seven, and there was five. I was closer.
It's still two, the difference.
Okay. Well, Alex, is we sort of chatted about in the open, we didn't look particularly good. And one thing that really bothered me about this game, and I think it was part, and Ori, I'm sure you could explain this to me better. I think we were certainly, as they were pushed up way higher than I think we were expecting them to, we were looking to counterattack off of that. Certainly, we had a few opportunities to do that. But I felt like a lot of balls we were clearing away to back to them or to no one. And we had an extremely low percentage of chances just desperately clearing the ball away. I felt like that's not our game. And we sort of, I think we were a little taken aback by how aggressive they were.
Yeah, it was not a good Crew performance. I mean, to look at this team and think that this team, you know, last year won MLS Cup, basically the exact same squad. It's really strange to kind of think about the chemistry that they're displaying. A lot of it does seem to be chemistry related, and I know we're missing a lot of players, but I thought it was a really poor performance. And you know, honestly, like going into those last couple of minutes, I thought we were going to lose that game. Mm-hmm. They just didn't look good. Didn't look like goals were going to be coming from anywhere in particular. And, you know, thankfully, Cincy, as they always do, found a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But it's not something that the Crew should feel good about. I mean, if we played 80% of the teams in this league, we lose that game. You know, we lose at home again. And it's seven straight losses, right? So the Crew can hopefully kind of get this as a morale booster, and hopefully they'll play better next time as a result of that, maybe get a little bit of self-confidence back. But there are still some big problems with this squad that I think are unresolved. Definitely wasn't like a full page turn, right? It was just kind of, we were playing a horrible team that doesn't have its act together, and we beat them by the skin of our teeth at home. But thank you to FC Cincy for being, you know, absolutely god awful every time. But yeah, I don't have the warm fuzzies about that game beyond the misery that I would have been soaking in ever since. And that does give me the warm fuzzy. So, you know, it's not all bad, right?
All right, Ori, I touched on it. I was displeased with our clearance game. What was Cincinnati, especially in the first half? I feel like it was sort of two different games. What were they trying to do, and what were we trying to do? And did either one look good doing it?
From the way that I saw it for most of the game, and Taylor Twellman said it during the broadcast, and I agreed with him, and I stated my agreement on Twitter. He mentioned the Crew defense was looking nervy at the back, and you could see that, especially in the first half. There were a few moments there where the center backs or people in the back were just not confidently passing it out of there, and Cincinnati just decided, let's just press them so we can get the ball and try to create an easy chance. The two moments that come to mind in the first half, Vito Wormhoor does a dummy to himself that goes straight to a Cincy player in his own half rather than just take a touch and kick it to Alful or to, you know, into the middle of the field. But always trying to pass it to the wings, that's something that is something that I remember being told whenever I played further back on the field as a midfielder or a defender. Never try pass it back into the middle. That's where the attackers are going to be. But since he did a good job, I think, capitalizing on the Crew defense being nervy. Jonathan Mensah had a poor pass back in the first half, too, that led to a Cincinnati chance. But I thought...
And Rome gave the ball away once in the first half. Very uncharacteristic.
They improved that drastically, I think, in the second half. You didn't see as many defensive lapses like that in the second half. The goal was just basically, you know, very typical, just a little bit lazy in defense, and Cincinnati capitalizing on a decent counterattack off a heave of a ball from a Crew corner kick. You should never concede goals off of counters from your own corner kicks. That's something that you definitely have to fix in your preparation.
Oh my God, that was just devastating, wasn't
it? Yeah, I mean, they sent a heave of a ball over there, but I thought the second half was much better. Like, Mensah put in a very good performance in the second half. I thought Vito was much better in the second half than he was in the first. But definitely this team does need back its core pieces, so that way there can be a little bit more of that consistency we saw in 2020. Like, I know Alex mentioned the team chemistry being a thing. When you think about 2020, they had Milton Valenzuela, Josh Williams, and Artur for most of the season, and those guys have barely played in 2021. And you've got two of them that could be on the road back to playing here pretty soon as they try to make a potential playoff push. And I agree, it's not a full page turn. It's like a half page turn. Good morale boost, not a great performance, but it all doesn't mean anything if they go into September and keep on losing. Two big trips to Florida upcoming. So the point is that this win moves into a good run of form to get into the playoffs, rather than this season being highlighted by a cool moment of Miguel Berry embarrassing Cincinnati.
Bart, the feel in the stands for the entire evening was just electric. I thought the fans really, I mean, Cincinnati fans, obviously they have a lot to learn. They tried. They certainly contributed to the atmosphere. There was more security there. I don't know if you saw any unpleasantness or anything. I thought from my vantage point, everybody pretty much behaved themselves, but it was pretty loud, wasn't it? I'm sure you noticed that from your end.
Oh yeah, it was. And I mean, there was a FC Cincy fan who inexplicably tried to get in Nordeck and thought maybe, like, if I wear my jersey inside out, it would be acceptable. I don't understand. You know, I'm old fashioned and I just think of the, you know, West Ham incident, but I don't understand the thought of being a fan of the opposing team and wanting to go into their supporter section. I don't know what's that, unless you're just angling to try to get in a fight, or maybe you're just like to be provocative. It's a very Alexi Lawless move. Suffice to say that the environment in general, I mean, the TIFO was absolutely just on point. I think Alex had, you know, a little bit of a hand in that, certainly more than I did. But it was an electric environment. You love to just, I won't lie though, after that second FC Cincy goal, when they went up, it did. I needed a couple other people to be like, come on, it's FC Cincy. And I kind of, you know, for that moment, I forgot who we were playing and just thought, this is what this Crew team's been doing, you know, this entire season, let alone this stretch. And I completely just forgot the opponent we were dealing with and forgot that the God Miguel Berry was on and available. And so that helped make things. It would have been really, 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 really rough to have lost to FC Cincinnati. It would have been really, really rough. But it didn't happen. It just didn't. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't imagine what it's like to be FC Cincy fans right now.
Ori, how did this play on TV, Ori? What was sort of the vibe you got from the ESPN telecast?
It was a good vibe. I still felt bad for anybody who was wearing black in 96 degree weather, 100 heat index. That must have been hell for you guys.
It was
really
miserable.
Fit the narrative of the rivalry. Yeah. I did want to point out Lucas Zelarayán. I think it's important we point him out. What a week he's had. Puts in an amazing performance against Cincy, MLS Team of the Week with Barry. Scores another free kick, which gives him 5 on the season, which is now one shy of tying the MLS single season record, which is amazing. Not to mention, he was great for the All-Star Week. Was the best person in the Skills Challenge. He was the only person that won 2 events with the highest score. Played 30 minutes in the All-Star game that MLS won. So Zelarayán once again showing just how incredible he is and what an important piece he is. And he turns it on in the big games. And this game also sort of proving that Caleb Porter and his players, they know how big these games are against Cincinnati. They will fight till the 90th minute from minute 0 to minute 90 every time they play FC Cincinnati.
Alex, I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
I was just kind of wondering, and thought I'd ask the panel, would any of you guys trade Miguel Barry in a straight swap with that $13 million Brazilian striker that they signed in the offseason? Because, like, I don't know if I would. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of that guy, Brenner, but every time I see him, like, doesn't look like he's worth $13 million to me.
Well, Barry. What I like about Barry is he's big. And I think that makes him hard to mark in situations where he scored those 2 goals. He's a banger. You know, he might be Andre Drummond.
He's not going to be a starter. Like, he's never going to be a DP, right? But he reminds me of, like, almost Aaron Schoenfeld.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Aaron Schoenfeld, my boy.
Big salary, coming off the bench. Just a reliable option off the bench who isn't on the other side of 30. Yeah. And I didn't get, like, I didn't understand why you've got him here. He's 23, so he's not that, you know, he's not that young. But I couldn't understand the starts that Hurtado was getting when I felt like you'd seen much more from Miguel Barry. Obviously, Hurtado's, you know, more of a professional, but if you're not going to give Miguel Barry the chance, then what's the point of having him here? I want him getting minutes in professional minutes. So I hope that he has played his way now, especially, I mean, without how efficient he's been. And yes, it's been against FC Cincy. And yes, I probably could have gotten 1 goal in the same amount of minutes that he's played against them, but he still has managed it. And I mean, putting himself in the right position, and you can see the players feed off of his energy too. The celebration with Lucas Zelarayán afterwards, where they both were tracing each other's name. I mean, he seems like a guy that, and to your point earlier with what Derek Etienne was saying, you know, it seems like he's a guy that they like to have in the locker room. And especially when you lose Kevin Molino for all the shortcomings that we've heard, everything that I've seen reported after this injury, the injury he had, was how much players loved him and loved to have him in the locker room. I think it's nice to have a guy with like Miguel Barry in there who's scored some very timely goals in very few minutes.
I agree. And one thing I just want to add really quick, I agree that you probably also could have scored 1 goal. And I think for the next Cincy game that we should raffle off the opportunity to to play the final 10 minutes so that any random person, the highest bidder, can also score a goal against Cincinnati. I think that would be a great thing to do for the community, really kind of spread the wealth around instead of just concentrating all those goals just among a few people.
Well, certainly we have to say that the Crew backup striker options to Jossie's Artis this year has worked a lot better than in 2020. I remember before the 2020 season, we're talking about Fernando Adi as being an impact sub for the Columbus Crew, and he didn't score 1 goal for them last year, whereas this year, Miguel Barry and Bradley Wright Phillips have combined for 4, which is pretty good off the bench, considering Jossie's Artis missed a lot of time.
Ori, what does BWP have left in the tank?
Probably, I mean, we based on, you know, his age and the way he's playing, he's barely going to play a full 90, which I think it's important to have someone like Barry or Hurtado come off the bench in those moments. Obviously, Barry has proven more than Hurtado in terms of goal scoring. And I think we should point out, while Barry wasn't able to get active runs in the Seattle game as a starter, he was able to hold his own with an MLS All-Star in Yamar in terms of pound for pound strength. He was able to back off of him, hold possession and pass in those moments. And I thought he put in a good shift against Seattle in that game, where I felt the Crew actually played better against Seattle than they did against Cincinnati.
Yeah. I that's a good point. I would agree with that. And because we lost the game, I think we've forgotten that really felt like we did put together a much better effort. I felt like we were playing against Cincinnati. It was kind of weird to see. I felt like we were playing kind of scared because we didn't seem to be ready. I think we expected them to park the bus like they have been.
Right. So. I think, though, the chances made in the Cincy game were better. I mean, you have to think of the sequence early when Luis Diaz hits the post, which you cannot hit the post from there. But it seems that this season, Luis Diaz, despite having a goal, his big breakaway goal, he just hasn't had that composure on the ball that we expect from him. And if he did, he would be a phenomenal player for this team.
Oh, the build-ups, you know, every time I see him, when I'm sitting in my seats in the south end and he's coming right at me with the ball, I just like my eyes get really wide. I'm like, what is it? And it's the same. It's like Lucy and the football every time. It's like something goes wrong. He can't get off a good shot. He takes too many touches so often. I saw a lot of too many touches in this match. I wanted to see.
That's been a common theme. That's been a common theme over the last month for the crew in attack a lot. I mean, we mentioned Zilarayan trying to dribble past a lot of players. I think we've seen him pass a lot more quickly. After really the Chicago game, after that, he started to be a little bit more open to passing in the final third. But, you know, that's why some people are saying Matan over Diaz in a way, because I think Matan, while he's a little bit slower than Luis, Matan has a little bit more of a finished product when it comes to shooting and passing in the final third, a little bit of a better cross. Whereas Diaz is probably him or Bubar, maybe the fastest guy on the team, but we've seen with Diaz just high crosses and hasn't been able to get those finishes in the box, but you know, still a good player for the crew. I think we can expect him to be a starter for the rest of the season if he stays healthy, because he offers you the chance to get the most open chances for a cross because of how fast he is, which is what Caleb Porter likes to do in his offense. So certainly an interesting two games for the crew. I think they performed better against Seattle, but they were better offensively against Cincinnati. September is important. They gotta win their rest of their home games this season, and they gotta be able to pick up some points on the road. It's crucial month for them in September.
Well, it'll be a while before we see FC Cincinnati again. We'll put a bow on this, but Alex, I know that you follow them on social media. What was the sense that you got from their supporters after the match? And then we'll move on here.
I mean, I think they're starting to understand, right? They're starting to understand that this is not a phase. This is their reality. This is not something that will be passing in 6 months. And that they will be one of the good teams, that they are going to be a bad team potentially forever. I think they're losing faith in like their ownership, which is interesting. And it's like, they just got that new stadium, you know? But like lots of people,
which
saying,
is hosting every game now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what it does to their franchise, honestly. But I mean, it's gone from like, these are growing pains to like, this is just another Cincinnati sports team, since all their teams are pretty lousy. They legitimately seem depressed, to be totally honest with you. Like, you go through their hashtag, that hashtag, by the way, after crew games is all crew fans. Like, we just take over. We fill that hashtag with jokes. They all just don't even respond to people. They just kind of vacate the premises and then slink back in like a week later. And, you know, act like nothing happened. So I feel bad for him. But to Bart's point, I don't really feel bad for him, because every Cincy fan that I know used to be a crew fan. So, you know, pick the wrong team, fellas. You should have stayed where you were. Grass isn't always greener on the other side.
We're pretty sure that we saw something pretty weird in our row the other night. It was a guy in a crew jersey who my wife noticed was clearly rooting for Cincinnati. I mean, she noticed when he was up and when he was down, and it was like bizarro world. It was kind of strange to see, but that was his world.
Maybe he went to Bishop Sycamore. We have to ask.
Yeah. I have no idea. Well, the challenge is greater this coming Saturday at 7:30 down in Orlando, as Columbus Crew travel to see the number two team in the East, who have not really been in that great a form lately. If we look back at their last several matches, They're like only one victory in the last five, a draw with Miami, who are certainly coming along, a draw with Cincinnati, a loss to San Jose at home, another draw, this one with Nashville, victory over Chicago 1-0, and then their latest match, a 0-0 draw with Miami, who have certainly come on to be a bit of the conversation anyway, based on how bad they were earlier in the season. That's pretty amazing to see. And they're still in front of us. Ori, what do we see from Orlando? They're certainly not at their best right now.
Not at their best right now, but I mean, they're picking up more points than the Crew in, you know, the last six or seven games. Let's face it, most teams are, but I mean, with Orlando, Nani is the guy that you got to watch out for. Of course, MLS All-Star, a player that's, you know, famous in world football probably for the last 15 years, former Manchester United legend, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's buddy who's back at United. But, you know, he's a good player in MLS. He leads the team in goals and assists. So, you know, he's going to be able to create for guys like Benji Michel or Tesho Akindele. Chris Mueller hasn't played too much this season, only two goals for him. But Orlando's has been able to just pick up points throughout the year, only four losses for them. And obviously the home field advantage will help them depending on what the weather conditions are going to be, because it can be humid in Florida. It can be really hot. It can be rainy. So we don't know what the weather could be like, which could give them an advantage. But let's remember, you know, it's the stat I love to mention the most about last season for the Columbus Crew. Orlando was the only other city they won in last year that wasn't named Columbus, Ohio, because they picked up those three wins in MLS's back, but they were able to stay there for a month to sort of turn it into kind of a home like all the other MLS teams did. So it should be an interesting game. It's just so, so crucial now for this team to be able to pick up some points on the road. For me, a draw is a very good result at this stage of the game, because Orlando is not a team you're chasing in the table. They're well ahead of the Crew, 8 points right now with a game in hand. It's about trying to pick up points on the likes of DC, Montreal. Make sure you get a gap ahead of Atlanta and Chicago so you can start to pull yourself into the 6 and 7 spot pretty comfortably. So even a draw in this game, I think is a good result in my opinion, but okay. They have a signing in Alexander Pato. He was supposed to be a big signing, former AC Milan striker. He hasn't, you know, he's been injured for quite some time.
Just like he has been since 2009.
Yeah,
love Pato, say. But yeah. Dude's always hurt.
One game for Orlando.
Yeah. Will we see him on Saturday?
Probably no, not. No, he's okay. Out till mid-September.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware. Well, the weather down there, I've just looked ahead. It looks a lot like it did the other night here. So we're certainly used 70 some odd percent humidity, 89 degrees for a high on Saturday. It's going to be pretty much the same thing we dealt with against Cincinnati. To your point about Nani, obviously he's their most dangerous player. How do you contain him defensively? What do you look to do?
It's going to be hard. It's always hard to contain a guy like that, considering he can create something out of anything. You know, we've seen him do so much with the ball, dribbling at defenders, scoring goals out of nowhere. He had a back heel goal this season. We've seen him score bicycle kicks. So he's able to do so much on the pitch. The last time he played against the Crew, he got sent off. There was a controversial red card after his foul on Harrison Afful, and the Crew ended up still losing that game 2-1. Which was their last loss of the 2020 season before they won MLS Cup. But
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, but defensively, this is going to be more of a challenge for the Crew because Jonathan Mensah will not be there.
So, he's going to – in the pool for his native country, Cameroon.
Ghana.
Ghana, I'm sorry. Forgive me. For Ghana, but it doesn't look like he's on the roster, right? He's like a reserve or something?
He's going to Africa either way, so he's not available for the match on the first. So I'm not sure if he'll play or not. Ghana has two matches in this qualifying set against South Africa and Zimbabwe. So African qualifiers will continue in October, November, so there's the possibility that Mensah might miss another game due to international duty. Luckily, October, there's a big gap. I think the Crew play their first game in October on the 3rd and then their second on the 20th. So I think there's a break there. And then November, it depends on what happens on decision day and if they make the playoffs. But I don't believe the playoffs are going to start till after the November international break. But from a depth perspective, this is a challenging game because you don't just not have Jonathan Mensah. You don't have Liam Frazier. Right. And central midfield, there's no depth in central midfield for the Crew. with Frazier with Canada for qualifiers, because now the only two true central midfielders for the Crew are Nagby and Isaiah Parente. So does Caleb Porter put maybe Pedro Santos at center mid to make sure he has maybe someone with a little more experience in the position? So not having Mensah is not the greatest. You can put Keita in there. He's been decent for portions of the season, for a majority of the season, to be fair.
But not to have that leader, is there any chance that Josh Williams is fit to play at all?
He's unlikely to play, I think, on Saturday. He might be ready for the next week. But I think not having Liam Frazier is a bigger loss, just because who do you have left that's a center mid on the roster?
It's both bad. But, you know, Bart, I don't think we even remember what it's like to play without Jonathan.
No, and this is what I will do is I want to give MLS and U.S. soccer credit for recognizing that, you know, our country and governing body is in no position to determine what countries are acceptable and aren't acceptable to let players go on international duty for, compared to what they're doing in England, where they've got the list. I'm sorry. Oh, if you happen to like play for Central or South America or Africa, you can't travel, but. You
know, really? Someone,
yeah. Oh yeah. They're not letting.
I did not know that.
For at least this upcoming one, Miguel Almiron, former, Atlanta United standout, was barred from traveling to play for Paraguay. Or Paraguay. But suffice it to say, it is going to be a rough loss without Mensah, especially with how poorly Vito Wormhoort has played this season. And if he's, you know, has to be the start, you know, your starter there along with Buba, I don't think that's probably the combination, just with Buba's youth and the mistakes that he still makes, which you expect to make. The problem is that Vito makes those same mistakes and he's 31. So I'm a little bit concerned with that combination. I do hope that Josh Williams, you know, could potentially be available, maybe at least to get in. I think it's just good to have him training with the team again. And if he's a guy who's available, you know, on the bench, who could be there as a sub to calm things down if you need to, or at least to be there with the players to kind of help them and help them get in the right headspace. I think that is going to be, you know, crucial for them. But this is going to be a really big game for Buba Keita. But he needs to, I think, you know, ideally, if you're Keita or if you're Caleb Porter, you see Buba Keita as a guy who you want to be comfortable with starting next year in that role. When you look at the age on that roster at the center back position right now. So you need to see him really continue to take these positive steps. And then this is a huge platform for him to do it. Because I agree, you know, I always want 3 points. I think a draw would be an acceptable result.
Oh, that would be outstanding.
But Crew need to start picking up a couple wins in games that they, you know, shouldn't on paper be winning if they're going to get back into the playoff hunt genuinely. Because, yeah, it's, you know, they're 3 points out of that seventh spot right now. That's just one game. But it's going to be... you've got to start picking up some of these wins against good teams, because Ori pointed it out last time. It's not like you've got a lot more FC Cincy's on the rest of the schedule for Columbus. No. You're facing other good Eastern Conference teams.
Ori, what are we going to do to cover for Jonathan's loss tactically, do you think?
If it were me, and if I were predicting this, I would think that there's a possibility that things might be more defensive just to play that cautious game. But who knows? I mean, with Caleb Porter, I think you want to potentially go out and be aggressive early in the game, maybe pick up a goal. I think if they pick up a goal, they try to play conservative, especially if you have a defensive option off the bench. If Josh Williams is on the bench, then I wouldn't be surprised if he came on in the last 30 minutes and he was able to just defend potentially a 1-0 lead if Crew were able to get a goal. But to me, getting a first half goal is really crucial. And that's something the Crew has to do more often, especially in these last 12 games. It's not something they've been good at throughout the course of the year. I mean, last game, they, you know, Lucas free kick in the last minute of the first half, and then they blow that lead in stoppage time of the first half 3 minutes later. So being able to score a first half goal, I think, and play aggressive early and then being a little more conservative and trying to counter out of the back, I think will help too, because you can have maybe Pedro as a central midfielder and he is a little bit back centrally when you try to maybe play more conservative, and he's somebody that can start counterattack centrally. And if Pedro starts in center mid, that means you're probably going to see Waylon Francis at left back, somebody who's a confident on-ball defender who I think can also help just, you know, keep a bus parked or just keep things, you know, confident defensively and make sure that they hold their ground. So that's what I would think could happen, but I could be completely wrong. So we just have to see what could happen on Saturday. But an early goal, get the first goal, get it in the first half, I think is very crucial in this game.
Well, Darlington being an outlet, providing coverage and so forth, doing the boring grinder stuff that he's certainly great at, I think that's key. So we shall see. Let's go around the room and make our picks for Orlando City and Columbus Crew down in Florida on Saturday night at 7:30. I'll start with you, Ori.
I think a draw. I think it's going to be 0-0. Last week I picked the exciting game. This week I'm picking the boring game. I mean, we've seen what Orlando has done in the past couple of games, much like Cincy, a lot of boring 0-0s and 1-1s. But I think because it's not a rivalry game, and potentially because the humidity is going to factor in. I mean, guess what? This team's already played in Florida twice. Remember, they had to play Montreal and Toronto in Florida in May. Mm-hmm. 0-0 draw with Montreal, a 90-plus degree heat.
Oh, night. Yeah, that was a miserable
game. And then they lost to Toronto in Orlando on my birthday on May the 12th.
Yeah.
So the heat, I think, affects the game plan. I think it affects a potential result. I think it ends 0-0.
Okay, fair enough. Alex?
I think we're going to win 1-0. I don't know why I think that. If I were looking at this game on paper, we'd probably lose 2-0. But MLS is weird. And I think that Orlando probably are going to see this as an easy win and maybe let their guard down a little bit. So I think we'll get one really scrappy, dumb goal from somewhere, and then we'll bunker and we'll hold on.
All right. Bart, something crazy?
So crazy. I had to, they muted me. They muted me because this is too wild. No, I think Crew has a, gets this one 2-1. I think you've got, Orlando goes in front. Crew comes back to tie it, you know, somewhat late in the, second half, you know, maybe around the 75th minute. And then Caleb Porter says, I'm happy with this point. We want to hold on to this point. And so he subs off an attacker for one Josh Williams, who isn't happy with just 1 point. No, no, sir, he's not. And we'll go. I don't know if he's going to, you know, take it himself or just jump in the rush on a counter after a corner kick from Orlando and just jumps up in there and goes in on, like, you know, a 2-on-1 the other way. But he scores the game winner.
I just want to say, that I love that I have kind of faded out the Falcao stuff, faded in the Josh Williams stuff
seamlessly.
Seamless transition.
Falcao made his transfer. He's playing in Spain again at Rayo Vallecano. His contract was terminated in Turkey, but the Crew didn't pick him up. It just didn't happen.
The window is already closed, Ori. But let me tell you what. My sources, which are totally not made up, are saying that it's imminent. They're all made up sources, Ori.
I'll contact my Bishop Sycamore sources. They'll tell
me. There you go. There you go.
Okay. Well, I guess I got to make a pick, and I'm going to be a real drag. I don't, without Jonathan, without Frazier, I don't see this turning out well. I think we lose 2-0. Sorry. Don't see it. Do not see it. So hopefully I'm wrong. I'll be glad to be wrong. Brian. I know. That's why I went last, to ruin everyone's night. All right, a few loose ends here. We talked about Josh maybe being available. Where are we at with Jossie, Ori?
Jossie, I think, is a week out. He was at training Tuesday. So was Milton Valenzuela. They're getting closer. So I think with Zardes, I think we could potentially see him for the Miami game on the 11th of September. But if he's not available in that game, then he should be available for the mid-September week where I think the Crew play two matches. But the fact that Williams, Valenzuela, and Zardes are getting closer is a very, very good sign. It's good timing to potentially push this team towards a more confident lineup to put out there to potentially get into playoff positioning. Because one thing I think that will be really key for the Crew throughout these next 2 months, try and get into a playoff spot before the end of September. If you have if you're in the seventh, sixth, or fifth place position going into October, and you're able to hold on to that heading into decision day, that way your destiny is in your hands. You don't want to have to go into decision day and have other teams' results help you towards potentially getting a playoff spot. Control your own destiny as much as you can by winning as many games or getting as many points as you can in September and October.
When are we going to see Steven Moran?
Marrera will be some time. He's more of obviously a long-term signing. In the short term, I don't think he's going to play too many games for this team, but we could potentially see him play in the fall. We don't know if he's with the team yet. There's obviously he has to make sure he has his visa ready. He has to make sure that there's probably a quarantine phase as well, especially with travel restrictions. I believe right now there's a recommendation for American travelers not to go to Europe, and it probably is vice versa. So with the Delta variant, stuff is a little bit more complicated with the traveling and the PCR tests and the rapid tests and yada, yada, yada. So, but I don't know if Marrero will play too much this season. I think you can expect to see a lot more of him in 2022.
Okay. We'll look forward to that. Ronaldo on to Manchester United. I feel like Alex has an opinion. Maybe not, since you hate the EPL.
My opinion is that he's a horrible human being. Okay. And that if he comes to the United States, he will promptly be arrested by the Las Vegas Police Department. So,
I forgot all about that. Yeah, stuff.
That's a dark turn.
That's true, though. I
got to be honest with you. I completely forgot. There's so much going on. It's so hard to keep track of all the horrors, you know? I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
The fact that Juventus paid like $100 million for this guy tweeted out on both their Italian and their English accounts that we don't think that these allegations impact our opinion of a great champion like Ronaldo. And then he sucks for a couple of years and then goes to United for like $18 million or something. They lose a boatload of money. He didn't do anything for them. I hope he sucks at United. Sorry, Manchester United fans. And then I hope he retires because he can't come to America because he'll get arrested for the seemingly credible alleged allegations that have kept him out of the United States since they were made. So,
yeah. Well, I guess he won't be playing in MLS anytime soon.
No. Yes, no. Messi to PSG though is pretty cool, and we like Messi.
Messi will probably play in MLS. I would expect him to play two seasons at PSG and then either go back to Barcelona or go to MLS to make a buttload of money at Inter Miami.
Oh yeah.
Messi had some tax evasion something or other at some point, but
yeah, that's Neymar too. Yeah, no, Ronaldo fine. Has as well. Yeah. Especially with players that play in Spain, because of the way tax law is in Spain, it makes it so complex. But this just in terms of action of a transfer deadline day and just the window itself, it was probably the best we can remember. And honestly, think of all sports, soccer, baseball, basketball, football. All these sports, the amount of trades that happen and the amount of crazy superstars that are going to different teams, it's nuts. And it's honestly made, you know, deadline days in American sports, transfer windows over in soccer, it's made those big time events that people are really, you know, interested in. You know, Fabrizio Romano is sort of like the Adrian Wojnarowski of world football. He was streaming on Twitch, you know, for like 10 plus hours reporting what was going on transfer deadline day, and had like 40,000 people watching him. Just a guy sitting on a couch tweeting from a room about, you know, trades and transfers. It's incredible that what this has turned into.
Not a Newcastle fan who they made two total purchases, and they're not purchases really, because they only bought one player, and he was a player that was on loan last year. The other player they got, what's nice is they're actually doing the movie Goal, The Dream Begins.
Yeah, Santiago IRL, Munoz.
Yeah. Newcastle, they got the Santiago Munoz, who is basically named there's the movie that came out, what, like 2005 or
that
6?
Yeah. That is Ted Lasso before Ted Lasso. That was like the first soccer movie that was on in an American theater. That and like Shaolin Soccer. Go watch Goal, The Dream Begins. Absolute classic.
Basically, it's like a 19-year-old Mexican striker goes to Newcastle United, and Newcastle signed a player with the exact same name who's a 19-year-old striker out of Mexico. Well, they got him on loan, and we'll see. But Mike Ashley is far too cheap. It is Ashley out, folks. There's one thing to remember. It's FC Cincinnati. Terrible. If there are two things to remember, Ashley out and FC Cincinnati.
And awful. Hey, just for Alex's AC Milan, Olivier Giroud new signing scores a brace in AC Milan's last game. So that's working out pretty well.
We're looking good. Knock on wood, but I think we may have turned a corner. So cautiously optimistic that my beloved Rossoneri are finally coming out of a dark, dark period. The banter era, as we called it, in AC Milan Twitter. But fingers crossed. Ibra is still amazing, even though he's like 150 years old.
What a strike
force. Better than Ronaldo.
Ibra and Giroud as a strike force is incredible. That is the
best.
How's
Ibra playing so far this year?
He's been hurt, but he's been on social media posting photos of lions and stuff like that. So, you know, he's ready. You know, he's hungry.
Will you tweet me when he's going to play? Cause I want to watch. I'm a huge fan of his.
That me and Alex are on a back and forth when Liverpool and AC Milan play during Champions League. We're in the same group. Liverpool didn't do much in the window, but they still undefeated. West Ham though has been probably the best team in England. I don't know about Tottenham, 3-1-0 wins. And they signed, I think, what, two players? So
I like watching West Ham. I think they're always entertaining. That not as entertaining as Leeds United. I always like to watch their games.
Yeah, Leeds just
they don't give a crap.
Yeah, they signed Daniel James from Manchester United, the Welsh attacker. He did some good stuff in the Euros. He's a good player, really fast player. So he could be a fun guy for Marcelo Bielsa to have. Manage, but obviously international window. United States has got some big games here to start World Cup qualifying. You know, you want to have a good Thursday night Columbusites, 8 p.m. watch the Buckeyes and Minnesota football, and then 2 hours later get a second screen and watch the U.S. play El Salvador in San Salvador. But the big match could be Canada in Nashville on September 5th. So remember that. But
all right, very good.
Plenty of qualifiers to watch. European stuff. I know Brian likes watching, you know, like Liechtenstein against Luxembourg or something like that.
I like the silly little countries playing. Gibraltar always fascinates me.
They'll be playing. Kosovo will be playing. Azerbaijan.
Yeah, everybody.
Moldova.
Yeah, everybody's in. I like those obscure little countries. It's fun. All right, guys, let's wrap this up. Ori, give some more love to Saucy Brewworks.
Hell yeah, we love Saucy Brewworks. It's a real place. It's a great bar. It's the best one in Columbus, and it's the best place to be in the world. Make sure to go to Saucy Brewworks if your brew works. Why not be saucy with it? 443 West 3rd Avenue to get some beer and some food and watch some sports and hang out with your buddies or do some trivia. They do like Jeopardy and trivia nights in the middle of the week. So nice. If you like answering questions, you know, what is Saucy Brewworks? There you go.
Like and subscribe. We'd appreciate it. For Alex Danik and Bart Logan, for Denitar, my name is Brian Phillips. Thanks for listening to the Massive Report podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.